Okay, team, this is the fifth time. It's Caroline on Skype. There we go. The spirits are strong. So welcome, allies, again to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So I'm just returned to Washington, D.C. on your behalf after a really splendid Beauty is Stronger Than Tyranny tour. Bioneers Talk, Democratic Animism Now, with beautiful Sonia Drakulich, Brianna DeMara, and Gary Hegedush, whose name means violin. That recording is now available at coyotenetworknews.com, and it was hard-won, crafted, really great, powerful magic for all of us. Also, I'll be launching The Return of Citizen Trickster on usual Monday night call on October 29th, and if you sign up for mailing list, we'll tell you all kinds of ways to play at coyotenetworknews.com. Meanwhile, here we are. We are Halloween Election Radio, and we are hosting longtime ally, Starhawk, author, permaculture animist, indefatigable doer of good on a global and micro level, that we may paint doors in the wall of the reality police to open democratic animism, wheel and deal between worlds. Her website is starhawk.org. Welcome, Star.
Hi, great to talk with you again, Carolyn.
That's wonderful. So there's so much here, but we want to honor the spiral dance, even more important than ever, that we want to spiral out of polarity and pour cool waters on all the conflagration and bombs there. So feel free to tell people about the 39th annual Reclaiming Spiral Dance.
Yes, it's coming right up on Saturday night, October 27th. Doors open at 6, ritual starts at 7, and it's at the Craneway Conference Center in Richmond. And you can find the details at starhawk.org or at reclaimingspiraldance.org, where you can also find the link to get your tickets ahead of time. It's a wonderful, powerful community ritual, and we have done it pretty much every year for the past almost 40 years. Halloween, you know, this time of year is such a potent time. We like to say it's a time when the veil is thin that divides the worlds, and our ancestors and our beloved dead are close to us. I think it's also a time this year that's really clamoring to us to think about the descendants and the world that we're going to leave to them. So we like to weave some communal, spiritual, magical, political magic at this time of year. And, I think, I don't know about you, but I find the tension as we build to the elections and the worry just about what is happening in the world and what we can do about it. It's kind of a constant, gnawing, low-level anxiety. And having some place you can go to release that and turn it into positive visions of the future that we want and communal commitment to actually create that future and do what it takes to bring it about. For me, I always find it incredibly uplifting and personally renewing just to connect with people on that level. And it's kind of an amazing spectacle when you've got like 1,000 people together dancing a spiral. You look into everybody's eyes. It's it's better than drugs. It's an amazing and wonderful experience.
And let's honor it and start now. Because it's true, Pluto presents us with a giant cauldron, you know, and the backstage is backing us up because we are humbled. We are really humbled and brought to our knees. But it is that capacity. It's like, yeah, absolutely what you say. You know, it's like, and I want to, you know, honor our journey together, this magic radio hour, to look at now and Halloween and true Halloween, because the election will be at the dark of the moon. When shady, sketchy, and beautiful things happen, you know, it's traditionally when elders gather to determine the course of culture, but it's also when stealthy shenanigans take place. So we want, but I like, for all of us now, everybody, all dedicated listeners, you know, what the hell, experiment, to toss non-useful dread into the cauldron and ladle out jaunty trickster confidence. Because this is going to be a long election.
It already is. The next one, the 2020 election, is starting already now.
Our intention
for the ritual really works with that image of the cauldron, because we always formulate a specific intention for every spiral dance that comes out of visioning that we do. And this year, the intention is to stir a cauldron of tears and outrage and brew an elixir of radical justice and peace.
I like throwing corruption into the cauldron and ladling out dedication to collective well-being as our wise governance that we are all creating. There we go.
I'd throw in a little hopelessness and apathy hopefully ladle out also some commitment and energizing of everybody who is doing, around the country. There are people doing incredible work right now for justice on so many different levels. As terrible as these times are, they're also amazing and wonderful times where we're really hearing voices, people that haven't been heard or haven't been listened to in the past, where communities that have been target communities are stepping up and saying, no, we need to be heard. We need to take leadership on these issues. And that's a tremendously exciting process. So we want to stir that into the brew.
I often say, and I really mean it this time, that the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to imaginative imprint. Whoa. Mm-hmm. So we do let the scary stuff come up because that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Because I think now is really like a giant entheogenic trip. Whoever's, used entheogens or not, it doesn't matter. But with a particularly strong dose in a group, sometimes it pulls up at first, like, whoa, and then it changes into, and feel free to borrow, but with my audiences, I found it very heartening to, remind everybody, precedes, so let's have everybody go, and our listeners, too, like, and they didn't want to stop. I go, it's like, that's enough, and now, there we go, and then we've got to save the world. Now we get to save the world, cahooting with everybody. And then I followed it with the end of Stormy Daniels' wonderful tweet, game on, Tiny. Right, so we had 500 people chanting, game on, Tiny. And that was, but it's because that is on the table, we addressed that a little bit last week, and it's such a luxury to be able to dance with you this hour, we both have been slightly averse to the polarizing, evil versus good, but the unripeness, the evil of separating children from their parents, which is ongoing and increasing, and the hate mongering. But that's why I love so much, the work that we love and the work that you do and with the Spiral Dance and those lucky enough to attend on October 27th at the Craneway Conference Center in Richmond. The group mind, the atmosphere, to create the atmosphere conducive to the desirable. And we know the Dementors of Doom, have filled the atmosphere with vituperative, polarizing hatred. So we want to spiral, and you do this so well, spiral into group mind, expanded wisdom and calm, and we can do it, and support. And for a long time, so what you said about throwing apathy and disappointment into the cauldron, I'd really like to throw disappointment into the cauldron, because remember when everybody was saying, oh, I'm so disappointed in Obama and everything? This means underworld, and to say that we're disappointed means I am powerless in the underworld, and I go, I'll just throw that into the cauldron. There's other words to use, for God's sake. And then as we began today, or we're attempting to begin, but I guess the the music gods, the gods of radio transmission wanted us to have some contemplative moments at the beginning of the hour. So, but it was 19 plus Scorpio overhead, which the grumpy men astrologers called the accursed degree of the accursed sign, because its image is a woman draws back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. And so we like it. You know, it's like it's a no priesthood degree. So here we are, and there you are. I see you, star, pulling back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. That's what you get to do now all the time, but on October 27th. And
you know, you're reminding me of a vision that I had at one point some years ago. I don't personally do a lot of entheogens, but I was in Brazil and I was invited to take part in an ayahuasca ritual at an ecumenical conference. And so I went in with the question of, do we have enough time to make the changes we need to make? And the answer I got was no. Okay. But then what I heard was, no, but you're a witch. You can work outside of time. So part the curtains of time and step into that timeless place and plant the seeds of change in that place beyond time where the changes have already happened. And in some sense to me, that's what we do every time we enter into sacred space. We step outside of time. We're aware of the urgency, aware of all of those constraints, but we step out for a moment so we can plant those seeds of change in a place, again, where they have this enormous potential and potency to bring about changes that reverberate back. And I really feel with the urgency right now, you know, the UN report saying we have 12 years to turn it around for climate change. It's easy to get caught up in that, and we have to constantly remember to part those curtains, step out and hold that vision and create that vision and work for that vision and not let ourselves obsess too much about will it happen, won't it happen, do we have enough time, do we not have enough time. Just plant it, hold it, work toward it, direct energy toward it.
Yeah, in complete accord, and I like asking the divine, you know, do we have enough time? And I mean, very much like your vision, but the divine says, well, what kind of time? If we talk about realistic time, realistic tick time, then no, we don't have enough time to answer our emails or save the world or anything. But if we talk about irrational time, in Chinese fairy tales, dream time, trance time, where we step through the tree trunk into the magical fairy world, which is quite available right this moment through this chart. And then we come back out, you know, weeks have gone by, we come back out 5 minutes, right? So the work that you do, you know, is exactly as you said, timeless, to step into a timeless zone where we can begin to offer ourselves as, you know, agents of desirable metaphor, you know, and Kuan Yin is good too, so that we are calm, because Venus is in the underworld now. She will have her interior conjunction with the sun tomorrow at 7:15 a.m., meaning it's Earth, Venus, sun, all lined up. It's the beginning of a new cycle of positive sorcery, in a way, you know, on behalf of the Earth. And then she opposes Uranus, dramatic revelations, on Halloween, and then goes forward direct November 30th. So there's a lot to play with, and that idea of, you know, cooperating with, you know, what wants to happen. Venus's image right now for all of us is a youth carries a candle in a lit ritual. It's trying melding one's energies into a deeper matrix, passing on the light overcomes fear about one's own flame going out, a nearness to mysterious forces. Whoa! So it's not just us, right? I love Terry Pratchett saying, here we are in this little circle of firelight we call the physical world. Surrounded by the big mystery, right? And the big mystery, I think, that you know, the dedicated acts like the Spiral Dance, October 27th at the Craneway Conference Center in Richmond.
Craneway Conference
doors open.
Center. Yeah.
Right.
You are
doors
so good
open at 6. Ritual begins at 7. ReclaimingSpiralDance.org. Right. Well, because you know, it's it's powerful. I do think the backstage divine is like, oh, those humans, they're doing it enough. Let's animate whatever they're dedicated to. You know, so mm-hmm. Spiral Dance, this radio hour, Halloween. But I also want to, you know, at Halloween, one of the cross-quarter holidays, we rounded off to October 31st, but it's really, mm-hmm. you know, Halloween, Candlemas, Beltane, Lammas. It's the exact mid-season, which will be the day after mm-hmm. the election, right? The new moon at 15 mm-hmm. plus Scorpio, which is the true Halloween. So that's why I said, you know, everybody hand on tiller. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
On the morning of the election, if we wake up, we would see a beautiful thing. We would see Venus and the moon rising together before dawn. It's called the mm-hmm. heliacal rise of Venus. And it's when, you know, she emerges from her underworld tour. Usually she disappears for 40 days, but she can't leave us alone that long. So she's gone now, but she's back, you know, a couple of days before the election. And on election day, you know, what I want to toss it to you, what you said about overcome apathy. Her image is a person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them. So it's very much like that something of cups tarot card of looking disappointedly at, you know, whatever it is, three spilled cups on the ground, and above their head mm-hmm. is an angelic hand proffering another cup, and will they vote? Will they give it another try? Come on, team. So I think disappointment is,
I think a lot of people keep disappointment from letting them take the small acts that might do some good, and voting certainly is one of them. You know, this year I've really been faced personally with the need to do a lot for my health. I'm getting at that age where the blood sugar is creeping up and the cholesterol, and if I didn't do something, I was going to be full-fledged diabetes. And what I learned is that, you know, I always think, oh, if I'm going to really exercise, that means taking like a 5-mile hike or climbing that mountain or whatever. But what actually has made a difference, and you'll be happy to know, I'm sure, it's gotten my blood sugar way down and cholesterol back down, hopefully toward normal. It's just realizing I just need to walk a little bit more each day and more regularly and be consistent about it. And I feel like that's the same with voting. You know, it's not a huge thing. It's not like we're making a revolution. We're not making every change we want to make. But it's one of those little consistent things we have to do in order to lay the groundwork to make bigger changes. And certainly this year, there's great people to vote for. There's all kinds of wonderful non-traditional candidates. You know, people who aren't rich white men who are running all over the country. I mean, in Oakland, my dear friend Pamela Harris is running for city council. She would be the first queer black woman to win a seat on the Oakland City Council. There's amazingly great candidates, Stacey Abrams in Georgia. You know, there's all kinds of fantastic progressive people who are actually running. And even when there's mediocre people who are running, you know, it's still important to get out there and vote and shift the base of power and say, like, no, we do not support the way this country is going right now. We stand against it. The easiest way to stand against it is to get out there and vote down the Republicans if you don't like creeping fascism.
So right, exactly. We're gonna take a very short halfway through break. Right now, our wonderful guest is Starhawk. We are doing Halloween election radio, and we'll be right back after this very short Taj Mahal. Mwah.
Shook the constellation that dazzled them across his eyes. She shook the constellation that dazzled them across his eyes. She showered his head with quasars and made his tortoise cry.
Oh, get down.
Chiny, 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 come blow my chiny home. Chiny, chiny, come blow my chiny home. Telegraph my indigo skyship, make its voyage long.
Now get down.
Welcome back, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, and our wonderful guest is Starhawk, as we do. Election Halloween, ongoing in perpetuity, is going to be a very long election. Hang in there, everybody. And the break music, I love Taj Mahal so much, but it works particularly well when you're the guest star. You shook the constellations. There we go. Voting. Remember, yeah. It's the same root as the word devote, right? So magic is simply any physical thing we do that we imbue with dedicated symbolism. So no matter what, you go by the casting of this ballot, may against all odds, you know, sane, reverent people win all across this land and rejoin the, whatever you want to do. To make it one's own dedication, no matter, you know, again, the best, we choose the best candidate possible, but still going, right, because there's a lot in the balance. Yeah. Exactly. It is done. Yeah. And the mentors are really good at, you know, fear-mongering into the cauldron. How about that?
And fear-mongering. And also, you know, what I want to say to people is, Audre Lorde once said, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. And sometimes I hear that quote and go, well, yeah, that's true, but a crowbar is still a crowbar. Right? But on a deeper level, I think what to me that quote means is you can't change a system by responding with the same kind of energy it's putting out. So we can't, you know, counter this energy of hate and control and authoritarianism by responding with the same kind of energy. We have to respond with our creativity, with our solidarity, with our magic. So to me, that's why it's so important right now to build a movement. And we have a movement that really says, hey, we stand with immigrants. We don't stand for this demonizing of immigrants. We stand with trans people and gender non-binary people when Trump's trying to legislate them out of existence. We stand with the earth and the reality of what's going on with the climate and the need to regenerate the earth and our ecosystems on a massive scale. We stand with people of color when they're being targeted. We stand with women when our rights are being taken away. And it doesn't matter if you are one of those categories. We are all part of the earth. And ultimately, it comes down to the question of whether we're going to unite in a way where we can regenerate the social and political systems that underlie our economies, our energy, all those things we need to change in order to regenerate the earth, or whether we're going to go down in a sort of blaze of mutual self-loathing and let it all go to hell. So
it's all being dressed up. I'm sorry, you go.
So for me, the choice is clear, right? You know, again, at the spiral dance, the core of it really is our litany that calls for the world that we want, you know, a world of peace, a world of justice, you know, where we envision those waters flowing down from the mountains and fertilizing the fields and bringing abundance to all who do the work of growing food and creating abundance for people, of caring for people. We can have that world. You know, besides doing ritual, I also teach permaculture. I teach people how to design living ecological systems for food growing, for living, for social permaculture. And I know that we have the solutions that we need to deal with these massive problems like climate change. And the solutions that we have are actually the same solutions that we need to bring about social justice, to bring about improved health, to bring about soil health and water conservation. All of those things work together in living, viable, regenerative systems. So what we need is the political will to bring that about. And and to do it in a way where we can meet these challenges with excitement and enthusiasm. We can take those tears and that rage, and instead of letting them become debilitating, we can stir them into that elixir. You know, elixir is something that brings life, that brings vitality, and that we have the vitality and the energy and the vision and the connection that we need to bring about a world that ultimately will be more healthy, more beautiful, more just, happier for everybody, and much more fair and equitable than the world that we have today.
Yeah. And we,
sorry,
we toss.
No, it's perfect.
You are perfect. And you are animating the beautiful chart of now, which is so generous in its metaphors. Overhead, Mercury is at 23 Scorpio, whose image is a woman delivers a sermon on a mount. Go Starhawk. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Beatitudes. You know, blessings. You know. Again, all of us are really encouraged to write our own Beatitudes, and that's part of the Pluto. May corruption, be toned into the cauldron, and may it go well for everyone, and other things that I wrote down on some scrap of paper. But Mercury's right next to Jupiter in Scorpio, stories from the underworld, and Venus is in her detective underworld revelatory. May anything we need to know to have a democracy and a sane, reverent Renaissance be revealed. She's up for that, and again, you are speaking the beautiful astrology of now, just because you are, and because Uranus trickster is in Taurus, 0 degrees. Its image is a clear mountain stream, restoring things to pristine purity, downflow, sense of vitality, inward self-sufficiency, and so on. We go, yes, that's just what Star was calling for. That's what we all want to invite in against all odds. The moon is exalted in Taurus. So right now, so she's speaking, and we want to ally with that which is stronger than us. And I guess, for all gatherings now that we dedicate to being agents of cool, liberating response in a hot, imprisoning, reactive world, right? So that wherever we go, did you ever read Terry Pratchett's novels that are so animistically wonderful? But
yes, I've read many of them. They are. They're amazing.
Well, the very last one he wrote while he was dying, which is so wonderful. Mm-hmm. There's a young boy who is disavowed by his privileged family. People can relate, right? Mm-hmm. And he goes to the witches and he goes, "I want to be a witch." And they like, well, usually men are wizards, but let's say. But they notice that everywhere he goes, he brings this calming, cooling, anti-inflammatory, like ginger tea thing. So when he enters a bar and there's a brawl, it all settles down. They go, you can be a witch. Yeah, you can be both. Yeah. And so we want to encourage that in everyone that we are cloaked in a kind of atmospheric magic from emerging from the spiral dance on October 27th at the Craneway Conference Center. Doors open at 6, ritual begins at 7. I'll be there telepathically, Star. So that we emerge from these things.
I wish you could be there in person, but I should also let people know if you can't be there in person, I'm doing an online ritual on October 30th, and you can find details at starhawk.org. And there's also, of course, Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead procession in San Francisco in the Mission District, starting at 22nd and Bryan at 7 p.m. on November 2nd. There's a North Bay Spiral Dance. There's so much going on at this time of year. And that's great. It's so important that it is because, again, it's a time of such important magic and energy. I really encourage people to do whatever works for you right now to connect to your deepest sources of inspiration and commitment, and bring that into this season and into the election season, so that we can have a tremendous collective focus on turning the tide and turning around our country toward bringing in abundant and thriving life.
Yes, it's and how can people join you on the 30th, Starhawk?
If you go to my website, starhawk.org, all the information is there. You can sign up and you'll be given a link and you can get on with the internet. And we also record those sessions. They're also closed captioned for those who have hearing impairment. I should say the Spiral Dance on October 27th is also going to be sign language interpreted for the hearing impaired, and it's wheelchair accessible. So we try to make our rituals as accessible as possible for everybody on many, many different levels.
That's great. So we're not alone. We can gather again, person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them is the election theme day. And so when we're alone, the Dementors can get us. But when we gather, you know, with Starhawk in many ways, you know, and myself, you know, and all of us, you know, we're the glowing circle of angels. So we can have a completely supportive week and on leading up to this election, because on the 29th, I'm beginning the return of Citizen Trickster on my Monday night class. It's audio by phone and web. And you can find out more if you sign up for our newsletter email. But you won't be deluged, believe me. I hardly ever tell anybody anything. but we'll let you know. So you can do the 29th on Monday at 6 p.m. And we record it, as Starhawk does. Mm-hmm. Then you can go from that to Starhawk's ritual on the 30th, you know, again, virtual. And that's after you've been at the Spiral Dance on Saturday. We're going to keep this thing going here because there is this, you know, deep cooperation, you know, as we really want to animate the desirable world and extend our, you know, our liberating well-wishing to those who are deluded, right? Because I love delusion comes from deludo, means out of the game. So let's invite everyone back into the game. And the illusion comes from inludo, in the game. So let's be a fountain of desirable, metaphorically agile inludo invitations, going, come on over, we won't wag our fingers, here you go, may you be freed from that enthrall thing, you just want to be part of a team, that's a crazy team, come on over here, this is the team of creation where you can feel good about yourself rather than filled with hatred, come on, but we need everybody. So it is, you know, and you're good at this. I remember the last election, you put out something particularly sane and calm when people were roiling. I can't remember exactly, but I remember reading it going, oh, brave, calm Starhawk, right? Because, you know, you were just guiding people through in a calm way. Really good. And with this election, I would also say, yes, absolutely, vote devote. And as you were saying, you know, Beto O'Rourke and many great people and on. And for the people who are medium great, vote with magical intention. You know, and, you know, if Democrats take back the House, we get to see tax returns. Venus in Scorpio is very up for being the detective. You know, she was stationing right as Susan Collins gave her annoying brown nose obedience speech. But that was right when Venus in Scorpio was stationing to retrograde. And I liked hearing her say, I got this. You know, that the investigations into that which is not dedicated to collective good are ongoing. And, you know, there's a burst on Halloween. That's fun. And then even more, you know, and then a lot. Let's all put our vetting standards in place, because there's a lot of delusion, you know, and being snookered into polarity, you know, feeds the Dementors. So that's one of the main things right now. They do horrible things that make us angry, of course, and that's the beginning stage, but anger by itself feeds the Dementors, and so that's why you have your cauldron and Starhawk's gathering and all that we're doing, you know, to metabolize anger, like the wrathful Dakinis, into desire, and then we don't feed the Dementors. We go, let's go over here. Then we deprive the Dementors of their fuel, which is toxic hatred and polarity. So, yeah, and you're good at that. Do you remember years ago when we met in a cafe called Utopia, because it was the only place open in Washington, D.C., and I introduced you to this woman, policewoman, who was in charge of, you know, FBI park surveillance of World Bank. Do you remember this thing?
Yes, I do. Like, it was an amazing moment of trying to reach across the lines and see if there was some common ground for connection. And yeah, and
yeah. Well,
Sorry, I was just going to say, you know, I've always been an advocate of nonviolence, not necessarily in a Gandhian sense. You know, I also like to think if I had been alive a little earlier in Europe, I would have been part of the resistance to the Nazis. And that was hard to do nonviolently once they came into power. But I'm a strong believer in nonviolence in the sense that if you hold open that understanding that every human being has a point of view and has something of value, I think it makes us smarter. We might listen to somebody, we might not agree with them. They might be saying things that are absolutely appalling, but there's something we can learn from that. And there's some hope of connecting and reaching and maybe changing that person, maybe not, but at least learning something from them that might help you change somebody else or shift someone else's point of view who believes the same thing or holds the same truth. And again, I think it's important. There's a lot that goes on in our progressive movements right now that I think is overly influenced by that ease on Facebook of just unfriending someone and not having to see or hear from them anymore. There are times when you just don't want certain things, you know, on your feed or in your space. But I think it's also important to remember that political change and consciousness change comes from engagement, not just from avoidance and not just from shunning and cutting people off, but also from connecting and listening. What you're hearing might not be what you wish you were hearing.
Right. Well, I think it's also many metaphors like the card game Hearts, in which you can do this bold thing called shooting the moon. But to do that, you need the Queen of Spades. I think we can get that. And you need all the hearts. And if you leave out even one, you lose worse than if you hadn't tried at all. And I think that's a good aspiration, you know, you know, for each person to be available for private, public conversings. And just a brief thing, I was at a right-wing relatives, and my dinner partner was and we were getting on okay until I talked about my love of wolves, and he was like, I like to shoot wolves, you know. And he was head of a men's armed, you know, right-wing militia group in North Carolina. And I go, what's your birthday? You know, and I go, oh, you're a Cancer, incarnation of the moon. You know, it's a tough gig being a man Cancer, because you have all these feelings of husbandry and nurturing, but it's not encouraged in our culture. And here you are constellating family in this trippy group that you run. I think you might have overcorrected. And I said, you know, going, I'm a macho, you know, and he was like, oh, and I go, you know, you could be influential, and you could liberate these men that you've gathered into a larger, roomier way of being in the world. You know, and he was like, wow. And then he came back and he said, that's the most interesting conversation I've ever had. Anyway, so you never know. You never know. And I go, I love that thing, you know. And it's also about, you know, if the narrative is tyrannical, disrupt it. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite animal? If you were a plant, what would you be? Disrupt, you know, Eris, goddess of disruption, is also our ally. What would we like disrupted? And, you know, spiciness. And then in some form, you know, these are all, we're all working on this together, you know, but in some form, finding the story that goes, we need you. You know, the lack of initiation is also part of what has given rise to Trumpel-Stiltskin and the Bannons and oh, God, we've got to pray for Brazil. No, don't do it. Because that's violent as well. I think the magic is the spiraling antidote to the violence. Mm-hmm. Going, create the atmosphere conducive, spin this out, invite in what knows better to do than we do, you know, and speaking, I think, to the soul of this country, that it may rejoin the soul of the earth. you know, that it rise up in each heart going, oh, that, you know, that there's a point at which people can't, they get poisoned by the hatred. And that's why, you know, are you particularly fond of the wrathful Dakinis?
Yes. they aren't what I mostly work with in that tradition, but I have a deep fondness for them because I think they represent that principle that anger is also like a life source emotion. You know, it's ingrained in us to protect us, to, you know, arise and give us the extra energy and the animation and the strength that we need when we're facing a crisis or a life threat. And that's why I think it's important to honor it and not to be afraid of it, not to deny it, but also to realize it's meant to be, you know, like it's meant to be a creative force, and it's not meant to be a force that burns you out. And it can burn you out if you stay with the anger and don't transform that somehow into some kind of positive action.
Well, it's like I like the micro and the macro. So I had an ancient black survivor kitty who was all kind of listless and depressed and lonely and not eating much. And then I got these two new kittens, and the indigenous kitty was brought alive by hatred. She's like, I hate them. I'm going to eat more. And she would even kind of appear like with, you know, Night on Bald Mountain behind her and then hurl herself at these kittens. It was truly terrifying, but it brought her back to life, right? Then she got ill. And it was very clear. Yeah. She was like, can't afford hatred. I'm ill. Mm-hmm. I can't afford hatred. It's a huge energy leak. And then she got all cute and had a wonderful final chapter of her life, you know, loved by those she'd been oppressing, right? So I go, right, anger brings us alive, but it'll kill us if we stay there. And the reason
I
love the
rest. You know, one of the things to be aware of, like, in the way the right wing uses that anger and motivates that anger, because it's kind of like, it's a cheap, sort of like a cheap shot of self-esteem. You know, if you don't ultimately feel very good about yourself, you know, and you get angry and you get filled with that self-righteousness, it's easy to feel like charged up and energized, but it doesn't last. It's like cocaine or an overdose of caffeine or something. It's not like really being nourished. And we need to be nourished by our deep understanding that each one of us is here right now for a reason and for a purpose. And whoever we are, you know, we are who we are with our own unique gifts and our own unique desires as part of the game, as part of this whole play of life. And yeah, so I think being a strong ally starts with being an ally of yourself, of really accepting that, of acknowledging that we each, every single one of us, has a basic worth, preciousness that can't be denied, that doesn't have to be earned, that doesn't have to be bought or sold or branded, that just is. And out of that, I believe we're much less susceptible to that cheap shot of anger burst. You know, you right. Recognize, it's just like when you're well nourished and somebody wants to feed you some kind of horrible processed sugar treat and your body kind of goes like, yuck, you know, I don't want that. You recognize that for the poison that it really is.
Yeah. Well, which is why I so love, I mean, we're here with the con, which is the toxic mimic of the liberating trickster, and Americans have had such a complex relationship to the con man. Mm-hmm. You know, and we might say unworked anger is a toxic mimic of what you said, self-esteem, and we can see that in those who've been hoodwinked by their desire to not be hoodwinked. You know, and then liberating, but it's also, if we look at the world, we go combustion, you know. Yeah. Hyper Yang Mars death frenzy, uninitiated Mars, you know, the internal combustion engine, the bombs, you know, and what fuel do we run on as well? And that's why we go, you know, cooling it out so that we imagine our heads as cool and our hearts as warm. There we go. Yeah, and understanding like where where did this start, you know, and how do we dissolve what gave rise to this? Because Pence would be just as horrible, you know, I mean, in a whole other creepy way. We go, right, we want to go to the very roots of this, to the roots of, you know, democracy, to form alliances with, well, with the wolves and the things and the backstage and the ancestors and all.
In the renewable energy world, there's a saying that what we need to do is shift from fire to flow, from making our energy from combustion to using the flows of energy, solar and wind and water and things that are always moving around the planet. And I think that's maybe a good metaphor for us, too, that rather than combusting, you know, what we need to do now is figure out where the flows are and how to ride the tides and how to shift and how to surf through these moments to get us to where we really want to be.
Right. Fire to flow. And for all of us, to you know, what fuel do we run on? I often say, you know, snark and condescension. Condescension means we all go down together, and snark is the emotional, the energetic equivalent of tar sands. Anyway, all too soon.
So I hear that music coming, and I should let people know, starhawk.org. I'm also going to be at the Witch's Confluence on the 28th, and I'm going to be on an East Coast tour the day after, starting right after the election. So all the information is at starhawk.org. And I'm also social permaculture courses and a permaculture design course.
We got to go. But I'll post anything you want me to post. Wonderful. We'll be in mutual reception. I'll be back in California the day after the election. We're going to keep this thing going. It's a long election. It will never be over on some level. Thank you, Erica Bridgman, on the boards and the patient listeners. I'm Caroline Casey, CoyoteNetworkNews.com. Woof, woof, woof.